You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And a big thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, on to the show.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hi, my name is Kaylee McGee, and I'm here today to share my story of how God met me at my lowest of low and really did save my life. It all kind of starts with the past year. It was my sophomore year in high school. The year had just began. I had joined the dance drill team at my school. I was in a relationship. I had a good group of friends. I was in a small group. Everything was really, really looking good for my year. But in September, about 2 months into the school year, my relationship actually ended with this boy very unexpectedly. We had become very close, and we actually worked together at a restaurant. His family owned the restaurant, actually. So that really hit hard. And within that same week, on September 27th, my friend on my dance drill team at school had committed suicide. She was a senior, and I was actually at work when I found out. Those both hit all within 1 week. It hit very hard. I remember thinking over and over again, wow, like, this is real life. You know, this is what reality's like. And it actually scared me about life. I kept thinking, is this what my life is? Is this what's constantly going to be how the real world is? You know, tragedies over and over. Will I ever be happy? So, you know, weeks passed. I started to, you know, think I could be okay. But soon after that, I just went into a downward spiral after that. Months and months went on, and I started falling into depression, getting into smoking as a way to cope, which I had never been into. Always stayed away from that, but fell into that as my only way to cope. And I didn't even necessarily enjoy it. It was just something that I felt like I can do. I was living like this double life, you know, with my parents and my small group. I was this one person, and then, you know, when I was by myself, I was this whole different person, you know, smoking and, you know, just depressed all the time. And so eventually it led to me actually getting stomach pains, and never really knowing why. I had them for a while. I would go home from school a lot because I was in a lot of pain, and I didn't know why. And I would just go home and just be crying because it hurt so bad. So eventually my mother took me to the doctor, and we found out that I had stomach ulcers. And I didn't know what that was. When they told me that, I was like, okay, you know, what is that? Why did these happen? And they told me basically that they were caused by stress and trauma. And it's where your acid builds up and burns holes into your stomach. And they had asked me, are you in any stressful situations? Have you been through any trauma recently? And I kind of just told them everything, you know, with my friend that passed away, with the, you know, the breakup with this boyfriend. And, you know, I was working with him all through these months. I worked with him even after we were broken up. So that was hard too. And it was just so much stress. And they told me, you need to get out of these situations. You know, you need to remove yourself. You know, this isn't good for you. And at that point, that was when I really felt like I hit rock bottom. I really felt ashamed of myself. I was angry at myself. And I was also angry at everybody else. I was angry at, you know, the boy. I was angry at my friend that passed away. I was angry at everything. But most of all, it was at myself. I couldn't believe that I let myself get that bad to where my health, my physical health was declining. And so they told me, you know, go to counseling. I started going to counseling. It started to help. You know, they said you need to remove yourself from situations. Soon after that, I quit my job and everything seemed to give me a little bit of hope. I was like, okay, you know, I've done these things. I'm, you know, expecting a light at the end of the tunnel here. And for a while, you know, 3 weeks, I was like, okay, I'm getting better. I'm like doing okay. And then, you know, my stomach pains came back. And I was really angry at that point and just felt lost and devastated. I was like, why? You know, I cried out to God, why is this happening? I've removed myself from situations that I shouldn't be in. You know, I'm crying out to you, why are you not helping me here? I feel so alone. I know you can do miraculous things for people. I've heard about it. I've had people tell me, I've seen the movies where you do things for people. Like, why can't you do that for me? And I was so angry just with everything around me, my life, God. I didn't see a point in even trying anymore. My grades were dropping. I was failing almost all my classes. And I was just really at rock bottom. I was at my breaking point. I wanted the school year to be over, but I still had 5 months left. I was like, why, you know, why is this happening? This was supposed to be a great year. And I just couldn't see a light. I had given up on everything. I didn't care about anything. And, you know, I was just struggling. And my small group and my parents, they were trying to help. They didn't know what to do for me. And so, you know, the school year finally came to an end. I was so happy. I was like, summer's here. I can forget about everything that happened this year. I won't have to see the boy every day. I won't have to be reminded of my friend that passed away on our drill team every day. Like, I can finally heal. But, you know, as the summer went on, I found out that that wasn't the case. It was actually getting a lot harder for me. I was missing the boy. I constantly thought about my friend. It wasn't getting any better for me. So a month into the summer, you know, I knew that this camp was coming up. It was this church camp called Big Stuff, and I went last year, and it was great. And this year, I was going with my small group, all of our high school students from my church, and it was I was super excited. We were all ready, and, you know, I walked in thinking, like, God, I'm going to this church camp. I'm looking for answers. I need you to just give me something here. Even if it's just a little something, I need you to throw me a bone here. And when we got there, the like theme or the lesson, the overall lesson of our 4-day trip at that camp was going to be about, you know, being well known. Are you well known with God, with others, with yourself, you know, your baggage that you need to let go of? Are you shoving your pain, your secrets, your lies? And on the first 2 days, I wasn't feeling anything. I was like, okay, you know, I'm not feeling much. But on the third day, it was this one song and everybody was just worshiping and everybody's hands were up and I just busted into tears. And I just felt everything just be released from me. And everything was just gone. It vanished. And I just felt such a revelation and so much relief. Like all my pain was just gone in an instant. And I'd never been more grateful. And I knew that my next step with God was to just come home and share with so many people, as many people as I possibly could, you know, this miraculous moment that happened for me and what God can do for you if you just open your arms to Him and ask Him and let Him in and what He can do. And I came home and that's exactly what I did. And now I'm here sharing that with everybody. And I just want people to know with my story that, you know, God can pick you up where you were, you know, and you start where you are and God will take you where you need to be. And that's really just the message of my story. And I hope that it inspires so many people. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories podcast, where we bring meaningful stories and powerful scriptures. Today, come on now. Today, I have the honor to bring on a good friend of mine, Ryan Casey Waller from Dallas, Texas. Come on, man. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Rashawn? Good to be here, buddy.
Thank you, bro. I'm excited to have you. I want to do like a brief introduction or to the peeps for you. Real quick, Ryan is an amazing guy. I met him in Colorado initially the first time. That was a fun time. I went out there on the retreat. Yep. We went out there on the retreat.
We shared a room. We were there together.
True. And unbeknown to us, we are going to come across each other in such a cool way, man. We went on a walk together and I was just drawn to you, bro. Just drawn to your heart, one for God, but also just how connected we were in that moment. We talked about our families. We talked about, you know, some of the dreams that God's laid on our heart, which I'm excited for the people to hear more about. He's a pastor and a writer and an aspiring therapist and a recovering lawyer. I love that. Will you talk a little bit about, like, man, you haven't always been here where you are.
Yeah.
Will you talk about your journey a little bit and how you got it? Just, yeah, paint that picture for us, bro.
Sure, yeah. It's been just that, a journey. You know, you can never expect what God has for you, which is good and exciting. But, yeah, like, so starting out, I mean, I studied philosophy and religion in college. Mm. And then, I came out, went to USC, had the privilege of studying with Dallas Willard out there. I don't know if you ever read his stuff. But yes, fantastic. He's phenomenal. Yeah. So studied that and then came to Dallas and I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do, but I knew I was really interested in theology. Always have been interested in religion, which led me to law school, right?
Of all places. Law school.
Anyway, I ended up doing law school because I didn't know what to do. And I thought about going to seminary, but I wasn't quite ready to, I think, follow what God had for me in that moment. So I went to law school, and then a year into law school, I started seminary as well.
I
was pursuing both. So I did law school and seminary.
Crazy. At the same time?
At the same time,
how
concurrently.
How do you even have the capacity to do that? So you're amazing.
No, not at all.
It's crazy.
Not at all. It was a good time, though.
Good.
Those were crazy years of being in the law library, learning to translate Greek, at like 11 p.m. That was before I was married, before there were kids, that sort of thing. So I did. I ended up graduating from law school, passed the bar, practiced law for a little bit, but just felt like I wasn't really doing what God put me here to do. You know, I was earning a paycheck, making a living, but not really living into the passion, that God had really placed upon my heart. So I ended up finishing seminary. I worked part-time as a lawyer to be able to do that. And then once I'd wrapped that up, I went to work at a college prep school, religious school. I was a religion teacher. I did that for 3 years before God called me into the church.
What was the prep school called?
So All Saints Episcopal School
in
Fort Worth. And honestly, I tell people the 3 years that I spent teaching there were some of the three best years of my life. It was the first 3 years of my marriage. And working with those kids, teenagers, really, really made me just realize how important, theology is because these kids, especially at that point in their lives, I wasn't even like their official chaplain. I just taught religion. What happened was these kiddos started coming to me, all throughout the day and opening up to me about their lives.
Wow.
And what I realized was, they sensed, okay, this guy is interested in talking to us about religion, but, in that maybe he cares about what's going on with us too. Exactly. You know, just taking the time. And so at that point in my life, I thought, well, maybe I'd go and do a PhD or something. But I realized with them that I was far more interested in practical theology, you know, dealing with people. And I really realized this is where I wanted to be. And so I did that for 3 years, which led to me then working in a church. So I served in a church, an Episcopal church, ended up becoming an ordained Episcopal priest.
Wow.
You know, serving for the last, 6 years. And during that time, I continued to explore this, the intersection between, you know, theology and psychology. And so I earned another graduate degree in counseling from SMU. And I'll soon be a licensed marriage and family therapist. Come so all this now, is like bro. Coming together. So it's all.
Tell them how many master degrees you got. I'm like still trying to count them all off. So cool though.
Thank you. It's been a journey. It's been a blessing. So I've got the undergrad degree, and then I got a master's in theology and a master's in counseling, and then I have a law degree. So.
Wow, phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
And along the way, what would you say are some of the main challenges you face trying, you know, transitioning from, you know, being a teacher of the Episcopal school to, you know, really in your lawyer practice? Have you ever ran into any challenges trying to balance them both, and also as a priest and a writer?
And obviously there's the writing. Yeah, for me, I mean, a couple different things. I mean, one, I always tell people I've got the greatest wife in the world because she met a lawyer, got married to a teacher, stayed married to a priest, and then now is continuing on with my journey into counseling and writing. And she did that all while married to the same person.
That's phenomenal.
But I say that to say, like, I've sort of like, in following God's call on my life, it hasn't been the traditional like career trajectory of like, always just sort of like heading up the ladder in terms of socioeconomic status or whatever.
It's good.
So, but like, so there's been struggles in that of being like, okay, like I'm going to go in this direction, not earn as much money or not have necessarily the exact secure future. And so I've struggled like a lot of people do with comparison, looking around, seeing all my other friends are further along at this point, you know, they've got this, that, and the other, and just that constant comparing myself to others. So that's a struggle, but really taking seriously that if you are leaning into what God has called you for, and you're doing what God has made you to do, all that other stuff will take care of itself.
So good.
Right? That the provision, whatever security you're looking for, God will take care of.
That's,
and really actually believing that in a way that has allowed me, and I've struggled with this at times, to really follow and do what God has said. Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to, you're not going to be able to move, right?
Yeah,
or if you
true.
Do, you're going to do it and you're going to be miserable. You're going to be terrified and all that. So, I've definitely struggled with that. And then, you know, a big struggle of mine that I've been honest about, I'm really passionate, especially in the Christian world, talking about mental health, right? So I've really struggled at times in my life with pretty severe anxiety, which anxiety, typically those of us who struggle with anxiety also struggle a bit with depression. The two are pretty closely linked. So
I have those struggles with anxiety, so we definitely relate. I'm sure someone listening is wrestling with the, you know, the anxiety as well in their life, even in this moment. So I would love to even hear more of your heart on that. It's just, you know, I know you're working on a book. And we'll talk about your book, Broken, here in a little bit, so people can, you know, go grab their copy, which I highly suggest. I've been able to read most of Broken. I've been able to listen to it, and I think it will really impact someone's life that's listening now. But I really want you to touch on some of this anxiety and, you know, the mental health. A little bit for those who may be under the sound of our voice listening right now that may want to hear what you have to say about that and address it a bit.
Yeah. Well, I've got a real heart for those who struggle with these issues because myself, you know, because I've struggled. So if someone is listening, just know you're not alone. Oftentimes, those of us who struggle with anxiety, depression, or anything else dealing with our mental health can feel, it can feel really, really isolating and can feel like we're the only one. No one has ever felt this bad or it's never going to go away. I mean, if I can speak to that immediately just to say, you're not alone. Trust me, you are not the only person that's ever felt like that. And I promise if you're in a really bad place today, it will and can get better.
Wow, but you've got to go work,
but you got to do something about it. And this is why I'm so passionate about it. You know, I believe Jesus when he says, I've come to give life, and I've come to give life abundantly.
Yeah.
And so with mental health, a lot of times what we haven't been great about in the church is we haven't always been great about talking about these issues and lifting this stigma that we have around it. Too often as Christians, we've characterized those struggles as faith struggles. So we're often inclined to sort of say, well, if we have, you know, a deep anxiety, maybe we're just not being a good enough Christian, right? Wow. Maybe we're not.
Faith ain't strong
enough. Yeah, faith ain't strong enough. And like, while faith absolutely plays a huge role in these sorts of things, you know, you could be doing everything right, really opening yourself to the Lord. But the reality is you might have suffered a severe trauma in your life, or you might be in a really conflicted marriage, or you might have a chemical imbalance in your brain. There are lots of there are lots of things that happen in our lives that can cause these struggles. And if Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly, for us to take that seriously is for us to consider all the ways in which God has offered us healing and help. So it's so absolutely, we take our faith first and foremost most seriously, but also, like, we invest in our take seriously our relationships, right? We make ourselves available to counseling if that's what we need, to know that there's no shame in reaching out to others. And if you need to reach out to a person in a professional capacity to process something that you've been through or going through, there's nothing anti-Christian about that. That is not in any way saying, I don't believe that Jesus is enough for me. He is enough.
Yeah.
But Jesus, God created everything.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
And so in the same way that I would say, man, Rashawn, if you got hurt playing football and your leg is broken, you need to go to the orthopedic surgeon and have surgery.
Matter of fact, I need to run there.
You need to run there on your broken leg to get that thing fixed, right? We don't question that.
Exactly.
But if someone's down in the dumps, really, really struggling, we think, well, okay, you know, pulling your bootstraps. It's like, no, they might need to go talk to a therapist.
Exactly. That's really good, brother. Real quick, I want to transition. I think this is a good transition point. Looking into your, you just got your
Master's of Counseling.
You're soon to be licensed.
I've just taken my test, so I'm waiting. You know, state of Texas, we'll see here. But I'll be, if all things go well, I'll be a licensed marriage and family therapist.
And what sort of, like, sort of bridge the gap for you? You know, transitioning from being a priest to now, you know, going deeper into some people's families and marriages. I would love for you to talk into that.
I got really, really interested in this working as a priest because I'd have a lot of people come into my office. And by the time they came to me, they were really in something deep, right? A relationship had been really bad for a really long time, or they had been really depressed for a long time, or they had been drinking way too much for a long time. And I think they came to me kind of thinking as like a last ditch effort, like, if I come and meet with the pastor, he'll pray for me, it'll get better. And while I hope that's the case, the reality is I just found myself over and over again thinking, I think that you need to talk to somebody else. Like, you know, just realizing that people need to be referred to some mental health professionals, right?
It's really good.
Like, what you're describing to me sounds like depression, or what I'm hearing sounds like alcoholism, or whatever it is. And I got kind of so tired of feeling like I was just sending people out the door. I really wanted to go and learn more about mental health.
I see.
And be and work as a bridge, right, between the church and the mental health community. So I thought, you know, look, I don't want to just be a pastor that talks about these issues. I want to go ahead and go and become a full, you know, blown licensed mental health professional myself, so I can be more educated on these issues and figure out how we can help people.
That's good.
And I knew that if I went and did that too, that world might receive a Christian perspective on these things more if I went ahead and went all the way through, right, with the training.
That makes sense.
And then vice versa. Thank you. Back in the church, you know, as a leader in the Christian world, sort of trusted there, but now I'm bringing back in everything that I've learned, you know, from the mental health field. And so I tend to think of my work as hopefully working as a bridge between these two communities, because typically this, you know, the more psychological counseling world, they are beginning to recognize that if you're going to treat a person holistically, and you're going to do everything you can, that involves acknowledging a person's spirituality because we are, you know, spiritual beings.
Definitely.
And so they're more kind of open to this conversation. And in the Christian world, we're becoming more open and not as reticent to hear from the truth, right, that the counseling and psychological world may have. Or as Paul tells us, right, truth is truth. So if we find truth is truth. So hopefully my work can help to pull down some of our defenses that we have toward one another and see what we can learn from one another and ultimately help people find that abundant life Jesus. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about you too, bro, if many of you don't know, Ryan's helping me with my book, the initial draft to Start Where You Are book, and we got plenty more things coming in the future that we'll partner on. I'm super excited about that. But I really, really love the fact that although you do have so much intellectual, you know, weight and you're very smart, wise man, like ever since I met you, I'm like, this guy's incredible. But there's a sense of like, this dude really loves people. I've been seeing that. It's super encouraging to see that, how you've been loving everyone from even in my household, my family, you know, my kiddo, you know, picking them up, caring for them. I can see that marriage and family therapist, like all over you right now, that counselor. However, but whenever like the waitress, the people we are around, you love them. You don't overlook them. And it's just really cool. I just wanted to add that in because I think someone can be so caught up in like, you know, the degrees and status and things like that, that they may miss that heart. I don't know. That's amazing, bro. I'm super encouraged by you. I just, as a person, like just by being a good friend and just seeing you live out and love well. So, and I've seen and heard much about your family. I can't wait to actually go and meet them.
I know,
I'm super
excited
about that. And for these guys who are listening to get connected with you as well.
Let's take a quick break to hear from a sponsor.
Have you ever felt helpless as you look around at the needs in the world today? So many of us wonder if there's anything we can really do to help. Well, we want to tell you about a new book from our friends at Zondervan called Disruptive Compassion that just might answer some of these questions. With raw and inspiring stories from the world's most desperate places, Convoy of Hope founder and CEO Hal Donaldson takes us on a tour along the front lines of courage and compassion. Let this book be your crash course in what it means to become a revolutionary as you learn how to evaluate the resources you already have, navigate real concerns and risks, check your motives, and ultimately become equipped as an agitator with purpose. Disruptive Compassion by Hal Donaldson is available for pre-order now wherever you buy books. Get your copy today.
Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
I want to sort of move into the writing. Now, you're writing for a guy in Los Angeles now, a fashion designer, really well fashion designer, which I'm not sure if I can give any, I'm done with anything else saying, but it's really cool. And you've worked with tons of others, good friends us. You've done a book with Grant Skeldon, The Passion Generation, which is really cool. You've done your own book, Broken. I want to talk about that.
Yeah,
Broken.
Absolutely.
Like right now, what was some of the things that was really on your heart when you wrote the book Broken? And I remember being broken by reading it, reminded me of God's goodness and just how we could authentically, you know, come to him as we are and literally live from a place of, you know, sonship. So will you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure, yeah. The idea behind Broken was to offer folks a book that could bring them closer to Jesus by getting the scripture and accessing various parts of the scripture in ways that were relevant to their daily lives, right? And so the whole premise of the book is that like all of us in some way are messed up, right? Right?
Yeah.
We've got sin in our lives. There's some kind of brokenness. There's something that's just like off, right?
Yeah.
And what I say in the book is I'm just reflecting back what what Jesus modeled for us, you know, and it's, you know, as an Episcopalian, you know, communion is really central to the way that we worship. And what we get, you know, in the Bible is that when Jesus sits around right at the Last Supper with his disciples, he takes the bread, and he blesses it. And then he breaks it. And so the important part about that is that we're all broken on some level. But the good news of Jesus Christ, right, is that he blessed the bread before he broke it. So that's deeper than our brokenness, right, runs our blessedness. And so you can trace that all the way back in Scripture, right, to the beginning.
Yeah.
When we were made in the image of God, right? Yeah. This is before the fall. Like God makes us in such a way that we come from God and we're made to be like God.
Come on.
Right? So underneath, like, no matter how broken we are, no matter how sinful we are, that doesn't spell the truth of who we are.
Wow.
Right?
Come on, man.
Right? Who we That's are, a right? Word, I mean, right? It's true, but we forget it. We forget it in our brokenness so often, and it's so easy to feel like we are just totally, like, that we are broken.
Yeah.
But I say, yeah, we are. We are. But we're blessed.
But
right?
We're blessed.
Before that. Come on, and so what I try to do is not wash over that. I take seriously you know, our suffering and I wrote from a place of real vulnerability. I talk about a lot of my own brokenness right, in this book and say, like, I don't have it together. And I've struggled, I mean, with everything.
Yeah,
right?
True.
And so just being reminded though, constantly, hopefully, of that hope that God has accepted me. As his beloved child and blessed me underneath that brokenness. And I know in a message that you're passionate about. And so then I can receive that blessedness and then move out into the world.
Yes.
Right. And extend that blessing to others. But I've got to know that for myself first and not get totally drugged down by my own stuff.
Yeah.
I got
exactly.
a lot of stuff, man.
Man, same. And I think one of the big things about it, just like you said, be vulnerable. We live, you speak about this, we live in a digital age where people want to put up walls and facades. And I would love for you to tap into that if there's anything you could encourage the listeners to do. Like, so just be yourself, just come to God who as you are, and be reminded of who he is.
Right.
So, you know?
Because if you can remind yourself of who God is and who God has made you to be, right? Mm. If you can learn to accept that, we'll be able to learn to accept ourselves.
Yeah.
Which in doing that, then if we can accept God's love and we can love ourselves, then we will have the courage to be vulnerable with ourselves. And we will open ourselves up and we won't feel this need to front or put on the facade that we've got it all together. Which doing that, you can do that for a time. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it leads to sort of emptiness. But the other thing that it does is it prevents us from connecting with one another. So here's what we know is that we were designed, human beings were designed for relationship. We know this, right?
Yeah.
And again, in the Genesis narrative, when God's creating the world, there's only one thing that he says isn't good, that man is alone.
Mm.
That's the only thing, right? And so then he says, so we need relationship. So we know this from the beginning. So fast forward to this digital age that we're in, where we're so connected with one another, but in many ways we're not, because we put on this false front of who we are. But what we know, and through like science, is that we connect with one another when we're vulnerable.
Mm.
And so we can only be vulnerable by being honest. So we put out into the world who we really are.
Yeah.
And if we're vulnerable and open, that gives other people permission to do the same. And then we're open to each other to genuinely connect.
Now
we're off to the races. You know, we're not isolated. So, like,
I love how you say that, because it was just so, it just highlighted to me the importance of, like, even our community group. We have a community group on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
And it's almost, it never, never fails. Someone opens up their mouth, you know, out of a place of brokenness and vulnerability, and they end up, you know, crying out. And they, in turn, has the whole room cry out. You know, it's like, we rejoice with those who rejoice, you know, love relates, you know, think about weep with those who weep. Like, I'm thinking about that scripture where it just tells us we join each other.
Yes, yes.
We join each other in our brokenness, and that allows others to be broken. You know, or, I mean, to reveal their
to
brokenness
reveal
and
it.
Not hide it.
Yeah, you know, to not hide it. Because that's beautiful, and I love that. And you're exactly right. Like, we've probably all been to studies that don't have that quality.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've got to make the real safe prayer request or talk about how you've got it all together. And I'm just telling you, like, we tend to not get much out of that.
True, exactly.
You know, and then we just get worried about what people are thinking about or how they perceive us. But I'm telling you, it's in opening our hearts to each other, right?
That's good.
That's how God really begins to move, you know, in our lives.
So cool. Yeah. I want to tap into the family aspect just a little bit more. There may be some dads out there listening. And what's one piece of advice you can give for a dad who's kind of discouraged right now? And what's something that's always been firming who you are as a dad, like that you remind yourself day in and day out?
Yeah.
I would love for you to share with just a dad out there.
I think, so for me, so not speaking for anybody else, but I tend to feel this pressure that I need to be a lot. So I need to provide for my family, and I need to create something great in the world that my I've got two boys that my boys will like be, you know, grow up to be like proud that their dad did or this, that, and the other, or for my wife. But here's what I've learned.
Okay. It's good.
They don't actually need any of that. What they really need is a dad that is present.
Whoa.
The thing that they need more than anything else. I'm serious. All they really, really need, the best thing that I can offer them is not status, is not money. It is my presence. So they can know that they have a dad that loves them. And so here's the deal, dads. Oftentimes we feel all those external pressures to do those things, or we come home and then we feel like we need to like be strong or have wisdom or this, so that, and the other. Throw all that aside for a moment and just practice being. When you're with your kids, be with your kids.
That's good.
Like really be there.
Right.
Like really be there.
My soul right
I mean,
now.
Like this is the thing. It's so I mean, I've been so guilty of this. Of like, I could remember a time when I was looking at my phone doing something, and this is when my youngest was even younger. He was crawling around the floor, and I was maybe responding to an email or something at the end of the day, and I could feel him crawling around, kind of hitting my feet or whatever. Yeah. And finally, my wife said, "Ryan, you sure do love that phone, don't you?" And I looked up and I realized that there was this precious child at my feet, and I was missing it, trying to get my attention, and I was missing it responding to this email.
Wow.
And my wife is like the kindest, softest. She's only sharp when she needs to be.
Yeah, true. Use that sharp.
So I don't want you to get the wrong impression that she's kind of breathing fire and brimstone. She's not at all. But in that moment, it was so true. And I've never forgotten it because I thought, wow, it's so easy for me to miss it. Yeah. And I can justify it like, oh, I'm responding to this email. It's for work. Yeah. This is what pays the bills or whatever.
Ooh, that echoes. It's a temptation. As you say that, it echoes. I'm guilty of that as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we have people listening now that may have been through this as well. Crazy.
Because I get it, because it's hard, right? Yeah. We're balancing, but like when we're there, be there. Because if you really want to set your children up, and the same thing it goes for the spouse. Like if you want to offer the people in your life something really good, give them your love.
Yeah.
You know, first and foremost. Because then it's all good. The other stuff can follow, and all the other stuff can happen. But I mean, I've just seen too many families where the dads in particular focus on, you know, providing or with the money or the status or whatever. And later in life, so many kids will say, I mean, all that stuff is fine, but what I really wanted was just some time with my dad.
Time will pop with.
That's all, that's all I really wanted.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that, nothing will set a person up better for success than a firm foundation of love, and we're all capable of giving that to each other. You don't have to know anything special. You don't have to have a great, just offer yourself.
Yeah,
be there.
Now, me and my wife were talking last night. It's ironic that we're here as we're laying in bed and stuff. We're talking about how one day, you know, we're gonna have to give our child away from the standpoint, you know, and not necessarily, of course, he'll have to go home with his heavenly father, you know, he's a gift from God to us. Mm-hmm. But however, one day he's gonna have to go cleave to a wife, a woman, right. And you know, we'll always have to be the guest. You'll always have to deal with my mess and stuff like that, which we'll get into in a minute. Yeah, the reality is we only have a certain amount of time where we can actually invest deeply from the foundation of love into these kids' lives.
Oh, it's the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
That's so true that once we're married, we're married, right? True. We got to deal with each other forever, but and in some, we're always parents, but the time that we get with our kiddos is really, really short.
Yeah,
right? At probably 18 years, and then they're gone.
Vapor,
right? They're just adios, right? Get them off the payroll or whatever. But here's what's
out my refrigerator.
Off my refrigerator. But what's crazy is it's even smaller than that when you really think about so much of what forms a person is what happens to them in the first few years of their
lives. Got it. That's good.
Right?
That's good.
And so it's really, it's important from day one, right?
Yeah.
And that we are intentionally present with our families, because particularly for children, the way that they are even held from the beginning, the amount of eye contact that they receive, the amount of love, these ways that they'll always be in their unconscious, ways that they'll never be able to express, but we know dramatically affects the outcome, the trajectory of their life. Not that those things can't be overcome when a person hasn't received proper love and care as a child. They can. It's just harder.
It's harder.
It's just harder.
Very true. Very true. We talked about several hats. We talked about, the counselor hat. We talked about, the priest hat. We talked about the writer hat. We talked just now about the father hat. Now let's talk about the husband hat.
Yeah.
To those hubbies out there that may be going through relational tension with their wives and, they feel like they're at the end. They want to give up. What is just a sound nugget, something you can leave them with just to encourage them to not give up, to work things out, or, just any tips or advice you would have right now in the midst of a painful moment for some of these hubbies?
Yeah. Well, a lot of problems that I see, or a lot of common struggle for husbands and wives are that men, we tend to have difficulty expressing our emotions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot swirling inside of us that we want to express, but we're not sure how. Right? And so we feel this weight. And what I've seen with women is that they desperately want the man to talk more, right?
Okay.
And they want to hear more of what's going on inside. So the man is over here wanting to get it out, feeling like he can't, but it's in it, or feeling scared to do it.
Yeah.
And then the wife is kind of frustrated by it. What I would say to men is, I know that it's scary.
Yeah.
Right. To face your emotion and come out with it, because you think, well, maybe then you're not going to appear strong or totally competent, or you don't have it together. Here's the thing. There's nothing more brave. There's nothing that is a greater strength than being willing to say, this is really how I feel. And I'm not sure even what that means.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, whatever. That's true. That's true strength. And I promise you, your wife will love it.
Wow.
Right. Because
really?
Then now it'll allow you to connect on a deeper level. And the possibilities that can happen when you actually become vulnerable with one another, it's stuff that you can't even imagine. You may think you know what that conversation is going to go like, or you may be at your wit's end think you don't know.
Wow.
You don't know. It's incredible. The possibilities are endless when we get honest with each other like that. So the thing that you fear the most is probably the thing that will help the most, which is being honest about how you're feeling.
Really good.
And trust your wife. Trust her that, that's who you chose to marry. Trust that she can – trust me, she can handle a lot more than you probably think she can.
Yeah.
They're stronger than
true.
We are. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're smarter than we are and all that. But trust her, be willing to say to be vulnerable with her
true.
And pour your heart out and trust that she will care for you and she'll, turn that back on you and
so
she'll
good.
Love you. Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of time we naturally do have that fear to, come to our wife because we're supposed to be the macho man who knows it all, who gets it. And I just remember just thinking that back through the corridors of history, looking at the misery of my marriage at one point, I just remember I just was going through so much. It was about a year into marriage, it was done with the honeymoon phase.
Right.
The emotions were, down again,
yeah.
So
reality
the reality set in. But I can remember there had been a day where I was just, me and my wife had, I don't call it an argument no more. I call it intense fellowship.
I love that, yeah.
But yeah, but it was really a crazy time. And I just remember, like, you know what? I'm going to just go tell her. I'm going to go be honest, like, what I'm actually feeling right now. And what I was feeling was basically, man, I got so much on my plate. You know, I was burnt out, and I wanted, it was out of a place of fear and uneasiness. I felt like an orphan, like I had to earn everything. And I wanted to provide for my family. We were just having a brand new baby. There was just a lot going on. And she had understanding when I told her that, like when I actually communicated to her, like, babe, I'm just fearful now. That's why all my, I'm spending, you know, 16 hours a day working. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I just moved into a freelance position where I was totally walking out into faith, you know, on faith.
Right.
But I didn't realize how much tension was happening out of just operating out of a place of fear, out of being an orphan rather than a son, you know, trusting God and, you know, being able to thoroughly communicate to better navigate through my marriage. And yeah, it was just something, bro. So I love that you opened up with that, you know, sharing about the communication, the importance of it, and the honesty. And it's timely. I'm sure someone loves this. Like, y'all better be taking notes.
It's time. Oh, no, no, I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. No, it's good.
But I know we're getting towards the end, bro. So here's one of the key questions I definitely love to ask every time I have a guest on the Scriptures and Stories podcast. What would be that verse if it was your life verse, like, and you literally can sort of, you know, put your life, wrap your life around this verse, what would it be for you, bro?
Yeah, yeah. In the Gospel of Mark, it's chapter 2, verse 17.
Okay.
Jesus says, look, those who are well have no need of a physician. I didn't come for the righteous.
Wow.
I came for the sinner. This idea, this notion, for so many of us, we've been Christians a long time, we can get into this frame of mind that, look, I have it together. I'm supposed to have it together. But something you and I were talking about just yesterday, actually what God wants from us is a contrite spirit, a broken heart, right? So this constant self-awareness that, I need Jesus. And there's no shame in that. I'm actually who he came for. I mean, that's what he's saying. He's like, if you're already well, you don't need me. But he can bring us into that wellness. But it's I've never arrived, right?
Yeah,
it's something constant. But for me, I love that notion, or I love that imagery of thinking of Jesus as, you know, divine physician. You know,
and he's here
for healing, and that's okay. That I don't have to be ashamed that I'm broken. And that I've got sin, that I can open that up and I can let the Lord enter into that. And in fact, that's what he wants to do, that he wants to do. And that's
really good.
That idea that he came for me. So
great word, Ryan, man. I know you guys have heard this this has been good. This has been good, Ryan. I really appreciate you joining us. Please share where they can find you online, on social media, and connect with you.
You can find me online. My handle is my full name, Ryan Casey Waller, Casey with a C there. I'm on Instagram a lot, Facebook. I've got a new website, RyanCaseyWaller.com, that'll probably be up and running by the time this comes out.
So you can find me there.
So yeah.
Awesome, Ryan. Appreciate you so much. And make sure you guys, he is worthy of the follow. I was just reading some of your content last night.
Thanks,
he is a writer. And if many of you, you know, go check out his work. Again, Broken is his book by Ryan Casey Waller. You stay up to date with his content, his work, by following him on his social media platforms. All right, guys, we love you all. Stay blessed. And it's going to come back again. Ryan coming back soon. He's going to be on the podcast in the future.
Can't wait.
So we look forward to it. Talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but also putting daily action steps into play along the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo.